See it light up.
Yeah, it should be up and running. Figure out how to get this on the video a little bit better.
This is my view.
Yeah, I got my. Wind tunnel, if you want to call it. What should we call that? But that's my Yeah, it's in the middle. I don't know if you can see it from the other side, but there's a little thing in the middle for that. And that. So I guess we got people coming in already, and it's being recorded. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that nice? No, I bought that. So that's my. It's to keep you cool in the summer. It actually sells those things. And there's a little button there to turn it on and off. But that's my check. And I'm trying to see if it gives you about 200 number per cubic centimeter. We just put that on there and see that or check that. And I don't know how. Jen, you didn't bring your laptop today. Just wondering if we should try. I need another laptop. Does yours have, you can access aircraft server?
Yes.
Okay, maybe you can do that because my laptop, well, this Impax one is not booting up.
So these are raw channel counts on the.
Yep. So that's the raw spectrum. So it looks pretty consistent. Twelve 13. Question. Got to find the spectrum distribution sometime.
You wouldn't expect the drop size to be
that. It should be broad, but it looks like, you know, but it doesn't.
Keeping small and keeping bigger.
Yeah. So that's my little demo for today. But I'm not sure. Okay, we're going to grab. Well, Christian is traveling, I think, today. He said he'd be back, but not probably driving, but he probably has poor connection. I guess we'll start somewhat unofficial. We got Peter, Andrew, a couple other guests here, so welcome. They can see, and Andy's here, and everything. So we will start. Of course, these are informal. So everybody can hear me, Peter or Andy or someone want to say hi. Tell me you can hear
me.
Okay. Hi. I got that we're recording. I think we'll start by me sharing the screen here and talking about a few things. I'm not sure how this is gonna go, but start. And let me share a screen. And I wanna share this screen. Okay. Oops. Let's see how this will go today. Maybe I shut the door so we don't. Yes, I have the camera, but I have the camera here. See my camera? And how do I just show the camera? On this one. They go here? Spotlight for everybody? No?
And then go up to the top corner.
This one? Or this one? Jen's gonna show me how to work this. Oh, just that one.
And then you can
make it big.
It's as big as it's gonna get.
Okay. Well, there, I got my camera on. And I think it's pointing kind of right. And you see my droplets in the on the computer that we'll talk about later. Let me bring that back over here. So okay, so I thought go to teaching on my page and go to our website and talk about today. So we're on Tuesday of the second week and we corrected the data last week. So I have this data processing guide that I updated. And I think some people have seen that, but I thought we'd talk about that a little bit. You guys can all hear me good. Yell if you can't hear. I'm trying to talk loud because the mic's over there.
This guide is for kind of new graduate students to read, and I've updated it this morning. So, and let's, I want to have them both up. Go back to, so I guess the first thing to say is that people online, you could please try to do my quizzes. People taking it for class have done that, but everybody can take that. It helps you to review the ADPA paper. Show me that you read the paper. And then on Thursday, we have the other quiz for the CDP. Andy, you can take this if you want to entertain yourself. Well, there's two quizzes. There's the quiz for the ADPA paper about how we're processing the data. Yep. So I guess everybody did this. You can bring up the link here. I'll show you how easy it is. You just put in your name, email address. And it asks you questions. So main data acquisition system, science engineering associates, M300. What is always true about missing value codes? They have to be physically unrealistic. So I'll give everybody answers. And someone else is coming. Do I have to let them in? I heard a ding. Let's see here. Go back to my, yeah, participants. That's where it is. Okay, Maura's here now. It's not fast to write. You want it's easy, understandable, and documented. Quality control is what you do in the field. So it's not reviewing data. It's the checking that things are working like we did before. And it's easy to automate command line interfaces that do not this one that asks you questions, command line interfaces that use arguments as input. ADPA mostly uses standard ASCII files. Future, we're going to write everything in Python to not use any commercial product. We'll write everything in Python as opposed to IDL. Not sure why these ones got up here. Oh, which is not a design. So that's the hard part. We don't have any database that stores the data. So data at higher levels are derived from lower level data. That's the design criteria for ADPA. And Appendix B is the directory structure. So you do that and you get a pass, you get the time, who you did, and the number of correct answers. So that this shows you I can answer my own questions. So you can do that, you can try again, and you get that from any of just click on the quiz. You can go through there, and I'm going to change it after the day because everybody did it. I'll change the way it's designed. So maybe take out the time limit and take out the number of times you can do it. So you have another one to complete by Thursday. And keeping on that theme, I wrote another one for the data processing quiz. So this way I know you guys read the paper, and the ones that are online that haven't done it, I know you haven't done it. So if you read the paper, you can easily answer my quiz. So please, it helps you to learn stuff. And even if you read it before, it helps. So we've done that. So I got the data process guide. I can go over it a bit. And it talks about how we process data. And for the people online, maybe Peter, some people also, I'll show you a little bit about how to do it. You should not have, we can try this so you don't even have to install the software. I'll show you about that. But a lot of it is how you want to become a developer. So if anybody is online, I'd love to have more developers on the software data processing. So the first task about being a developer is being able to install the software, look at the source code. So we got that document here that goes through, and this is the basic introductory for all the graduate students working on airborne data processing. And to make sure my students read this, there's a quiz to take and pass. 10 questions again with 5 attempts. So keep up with this, and you can do them ahead so you don't get behind. So read it. And if you want, what I was trying to say, we use repositories for all the data, so anybody can do this. And if you want any accounts for the repository, send me an email with your SourceForge and GitHub account information. So if Jen, you want accounts on the Copass to modify that, I modified that for some software this weekend. So you can do that. And then I have a couple, I added some guides in here working with the Linux station and the operating system. So it's a little bit designed to read, not so much actually go over. But what I wanted, if anybody could follow along, let me see if I can do this. And this is why Jen is here. She got her laptop. And try it maybe for next time if you want. Otherwise, just log in. And there's a bunch of information about using Linux. People want to, I can do the chat too. People want to put in the chat if you're expert, novice at Linux. I guess, do you have experience with Linux, yes or no? And if not, we have a wiki page about how to learn on the Linux system. And what I want to try to do, it should be on the internet here. Let me see. This is always hard to do something that I haven't tried. Usually I run my own Linux, but I assume everybody uses Windows 10. Oops. Okay, hold on. Oh, there we are. So the first thing you should do is, if you're on that, is to connect to the aircraft server. So on aircraft, because that's where I put the data from the other day. So we want to process that. And aircraft, we need to use port 22,000 for SSH. Do that, load that up, download PuTTY. If you don't know PuTTY, it's on our wiki page about how to get it. So the link's in the document up for that. So this would be great because this is one way also to connect. Uh-oh. And the first time you connect, it asks you to not in your cache. This way you can't, someone on the internet can't pretend to be one of the servers. It prevents man-in-the-middle attacks, they say. Okay, now did that work? And so you get this, you should have your login name, put that in. See if I spell my password right. And there, let's see here if I can, hopefully you can see it good enough. Don't think I can easily make it bigger. When you get there, you're on your home directory. And so, Jen, do you know where we put the data? So, /NAS is for network attached storage. This is what we store. And then if you looked at the UND, just means this is like a UND field project. But then from here, everything follows the Appendix B of the ADPA paper. So, and I put it under 2023 data because this is for the next one. And this follows that directory structure. And the data is in, is available in flight data. Oops, sorry, not flight data, wrong data. And this is a data and it goes by year. So 2022-08-25, which is the day that we took the data. Take a where? Yeah, there's a key to open it. Yeah. And we go under here and then typically I put in the, I kind of have this is a messed up with what I call it, but all my scripts for the 25 years, I made a mistake 25 years ago or 20 years ago and named this post process. And it really should be called M300 data is kind of be consistent with our other ones. So someday I'll make symbolic links like that. So, but it's called post processing with a capital P and processing. Well, that's where all the M300 data goes. And I process the data with the scripts. So if anybody wants, and maybe Jen could do this too, see if you can grab a local copy of the data from the website. So I have it posted here. See if you can grab that data and process it. Just in your home, if you want. If you guys are online, see if you can grab the data. And download it so we can work with this data and stuff. So I see Jen, she's easy. The people online, I can't really pick on too well. But you should be able to download the data, or the other way, if you're on aircraft, I'll do it myself. I'll make a directory in my home directory called data, and then I'll make 2022-08-25-18-38-39. So you can do this too, Jen. So people in the chat, can you log on? Please try this. If you got access to aircraft, you should be able to make a directory in your home account. Make sure you can log on. Okay. So make the directory there, and I'll make post processing and copy the SEA file to your data and post processing. And then if you're here, so I can pick on Jen that's here. What do you think the script should be that will process this? Yeah, we could try that. There's multiple scripts we have for processing impacts data. I think I just use, there's a process raw and a process all script. Actually, the process all does all standard processing on the SEA files. And this is the script name. And this is the number. So someone has to tell me if this works for you, if you SSH in and not, because which, and I'll try to process it. If you can't get it to work, try to source Etsy profile, because that will change it to use your user local copass. If it should be sourced when you log in. This is a new thing I set up, Jen or Aaron or Andy, that you shouldn't even have to install the software, because I put it in the user local. And I'm running that version. The only problem with this is if you read the documentation, it's not, I have to update it. You can't update the code yourself. But that should work and process all. And it should work. Maybe I'll see here.
So it just looks to see what type of data you have.
Yes, it's very intelligent in the fact that it looks at this standard ways to set up your system with, particularly with tag numbers. But it tries to identify the instruments if they're identifiable by the system. But a lot of data is serial data that is not identifiable, but you have to then use standard tag numbers. So this process all script can run all the data that UND has worked on since the early 2000s, including the old M200 data system. Does both M200 and M300 data. It also works on multiple other aircraft. And in fact, it will not give errors on any SEA data. So But it may not understand everybody's data if you don't use the right tag numbers when you set up the data system. And it does stuff like even calculate concentrations and stuff, which is kind of a misnomer because we don't have any very true airspeed. And so that won't really be accurate, but it goes through and processes everything. And it's set up by default to hide a bunch of the information from you and just tell you what it's doing. It processes the raw file and then it tells you when it's done. And if there's errors, it will give you an error. So either done or an error. And so this is what we've done now for all the 2022 data. So I think we got it processing with no errors and it recognizes everything.
What you said I'm going to anybody's party data on the SDA data system uses something close to your numbering system for assigning numbers.
Yeah, and it can be made to work on anything. If I know what the tag numbers are, I can modify it. So it will process the data. Andy, you keep asking good questions. So where are the tag numbers defined, Jennifer? Yeah. So this is a SourceForge page. You can go, let's see here. I can go to a wiki page here. Wiki pages define where the documentation is. One way to define documentation and general information. And these are the M300 standard tag definitions. So when we set it up, these list all the manufacturers that we process data from. And these are all the instrument names here. And then it gives you what tag number to use. So, and if we go down here and we're doing a CDP data, it's on the DMT. I'm just trying to think of, anyway. So this is 75 and there's actually two of them with the caps card and without. And I don't know, they basically process the same way. Each one of these 6201. We are not using the caps card. We need the caps card for the caps probe. Yeah. So we have the caps card in there, and that's another thing. Hopefully, finally at next impacts meeting next week, they will finally decide for sure that we're going to fly the FIPS probe. Because we really should take that caps card out because that's an expensive thing to get damaged. So we don't want to risk that. But that's the tag number. These are the types of data it is. So it really looks first at this type of data, but that doesn't define exactly what it is because type 75 data could be a backscatter probe, for example, the same type of data. So SCA defines these different types of data with a number, with number 35 being analog data, 37 is serial data. They used to start defining everything by types of stuff. So, and that. So that's what's done. And this file will process all that data and do whatever it can. So, did you process it, Jen? Okay. Anybody else online?
I'm currently processing it.
Okay.
Is that? Oh, looks like just finished.
Okay. So did you get? So if you did that, wonderful. See how easy this is. You're all set up. You can just you should get them files. But the other thing now is I want to. Also, I need to put in, which is what I didn't do on here. If you're doing in PuTTY, we need to rent Xmin. Let me see if I can get this set up. The other program you need is XMING. And it's installed. I'm not sure. If I have that set up on this computer. Let's see here. My best way to do this is I just try to see if I can run an X term. Oh, I can't run the X term. So you have shell access like this, but as we talked about in the data processing guide, you need to be able to display the X window stuff back. And that's done with a program called Xmin. And of course, I don't. So a lot of this stuff is just getting things set up to begin with. Where is, Xmin is not installed on this computer. Maybe some other people. Yeah, I got a display C plug.
I would just use a BMC.
Yeah, I know.
Because unfortunately on Windows, I can't get Xmin to work.
I did. You haven't been able to get Xmin to work yet. Yeah, well, maybe we need to show Jen how to get Xmin work in here.
If you do that, then maybe she can show me how
BMC
works.
Yeah, so there's two ways to do this. Xmin.
I have that installed on my computer.
I got it to work on the other one, and let's see here. Now I got to make sure I get the right one to download. Because they put all these advertisements around it that say download. Because they know. Did it download? Okay, here it's downloading. And then you got to go here. And then you got to open this thing up. I did that. Okay. It's downloading again. And then, I got to get to my downloads folder. I never like this. They always hide everything. Okay. Now I got my. So here I got my downloads folder. Don't do that. And I get my setup. Anybody else trying this? So it just doesn't work at all. Right? You install it. I just installed this the other day. Yeah, well, I'm installing it right here. Create desktop icons, create desktop for X. I'll create them all. whatever. And then I think there is the other thing we need to do is launch that when it's finished. And I think you have to put in, did you change the X windows to, I thought there was something in the wiki page where you have to set something. Potty SSH home. Use an X-Men. You can download X-Men from this website. Follow the instructions for downloading. All right, here, go back to Putty, enter the configuration header. Make sure you're connected to the SSH port. Look on the left side of the menu, most of the way down, you'll see enable heading for SSH. Click on this to expand. You'll find X11. So let me go back and see. I think this is what you need to do. You've done this before and it still hasn't worked. Once I'm in here, I'll just exit out of Putty for now. Oh, the other thing is you got security access. We have all the access. And we'll do that, and okay, I need my Putty again. Putty. Okay. So here's Putty, and the window says, the help says, the wiki page. Sorry, I got too many windows up. All right, here's the page. And it said on here, go down, SSH, enable X forwarding by checking the enable X forwarding. And this is under SSH. So you got highlight on that. And then the X11, you got to check that. And then you got to enable the X11 forwarding. And then enter 0. Okay, and then make sure, enter 0 and make sure that these is checked. Okay, that's checked. And I think that's all we have to do. And then if you want, we need to save this setup too. So if you go into sessions, aircraft, oops, I gotta load that in first, and then I got to go through and change this, enable display location 0, and then we need to save that so that when you load it again, you have the X11. Okay, so I'll open that, and let's see if this works now. David.lean. Okay, extern. And it still doesn't work. You need to click on that. I think you have to. Let's see, X-Men or X-Launch? Let's try. Oh, you got to export, display. Export display. Is that what it is? Yeah, I can't open display.
It's nice to see I'm not the only person who has trouble doing this.
Yeah, I don't. That's things to remember. That's why we have the wiki page. Set that port. Expand that. But can't open the spray. Okay, that means that X-Men is not running. Yeah, okay. Multiple windows. Next. Start no direct client, start a program. Next. Next. Huh. Yeah, that should work to. It should just pick it up. It should just pick it up because it should be loaded. Display location 0. Is that? I think that's what it is. If this doesn't work, I'll have to figure it out after class, and we'll go back to. We need to modify my wiki page then. What is the password? You guys probably can't help me with remember what my password is.
I can't remember my own.
Okay. Can't open. Oh, display is not set. Export. Display equals, is it 0 or 0.0? 0.0. Can't open X. Okay, well, that's failure number one. That should work.
Hey David, this might be silly to ask at this point, but what are you actually trying to do?
I'm trying to get a graphical window open.
Okay.
Because so, I want to show you how to plot something, but I need the graphical interface for X-Windows.
Okay.
And I use X-Win because I got the terminal window open, but I can't do any X Windows stuff. You use something else besides that? Usually I use X-Men, but I haven't done it on this computer. So yeah, well, let me see if I can do VNC on this one. The other way to do this is VNC. What do I have? I should be able to. Well, yeah, you want to share your screen and show us how to do VNC? Because I'll stop. I'll have Jen show you how to do VNC. If you want to share your screen, Jen.
Yeah, just let me. I got something to do.
And I'll mute myself. Okay, you mute yourself and I'll talk. Or you. I can repeat. Jen, talk loud. Can you hear Jen? No, huh? All right, so this is Jen's screen. She's going to show us how to use VNC. And there's a wiki page about VNC too. So you type.
So first, I just get onto PuTTY. So you need to have PuTTY open to get onto a VNC.
Mine works.
So, and then PuTTY open, and then I go to VNC, and you have to have your local host equal to a certain number. So my number is 24. We have a wiki page that has everybody's number for the VNC.
Yeah, so we use different display numbers to display back the graphical interface. So
yeah, so in, I guess, should I start completely over with how I get to that from PuTTY?
No, because I just have it, just showed in the, but I got VNC too, so, so you can get to the VNC and then you have to have a password. So there's a wiki page about how to do this, and that one should work, so we need to get Andy up to speed on that and Jen get up to speed on X-Men. They should both work.
So I have open here my terminal and I'm in the post-processing directory that we just processed that SEA file. So to do any type of, if I want to look at data, I typically look at it through cplot2. Which file do you?
The counts file for counts CDP raw. So cplot2 is a graphical interface, and that's what, because like this window that pops up and these graphical screens pop up. So you can't do this from just a shell. You have to do it from the X window. You need X windows to do this type of stuff. Across the server. So maybe you stop sharing, I'll share my screen. So this gets confusing for everybody, but that was Jen's screen. I'll go back to sharing mine. Can I just, I can't, Well, I can pull it out to the other window. Ah, okay. So now you should be able to see my screen. And this is my terminal. So this is basically a screen you get if you actually sat down at the server. You have the entire GUI for the operating system. So was it Peter that you were asking? Does that make sense that you can't, you have your shell windows like you normally do, but we need to be able to open up something like called Xterm. And this is another way to do it. So you either got to use Xmin to display it back locally, or you got to use VNC to talk to a server that's running on the window. Does that make sense, what we're trying to do, Peter and others?
That makes
sense. Go ahead. Sorry, I guess I lost people. Okay, everybody's muted. If you're trying to talk, you gotta unmute yourself.
Here, so I thought there was a plate data in the address. That was what was wrong.
Okay, I can bring up the chat. That's my chat window. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you actually put it. We use freight data in, either freight data or ground data. But you can make your own in your home directory or someplace. So I just made a data. So you can start anywhere along this path. This is the working directory of where we are. That was last year's. So we have all the data. I need the year. Northeast. 23. We have a lot of different data we sometimes put in here. So this is the stuff for this year. So this is a directory structure. But you can go anywhere along this directory structure. You don't need everything, but typically you kind of probably should have this part of it. That's why I did that in my data home. I did the flight name and stuff. If you wanted to, you could, instead of doing data, you could do ground data or something. So, and you can actually go and look and process it on the data system. So these ones, when we have stuff under here, this is usually always done by scripts, but we share this space. So if you want to do something by yourself, you have access to it because your people are in the Airborne Impacts group. So you have access to this data, but if you want your own private stuff, put it in at home, and then sometimes we use analysis folders. So so I took a lot of time just to process this data. So try to do that and try to work on getting some access, because you need to visualize the data with programs, either CPROT2, like, and I'll fix my, so you need to be able to plot the data so it's a lot easier to look at. Like this. So next time if you can try to plot up the data like this, we're using cplot2 or aplot with a parameter. These are our data files from last time. So these are spikes for when we put the concentrations in there. And we have to go back and look at these ones to actually get our calibration data and how we do the calibration by looking at this.
And the time in seconds is time since midnight?
Yeah, this is times. This is always, this is time from midnight. And then this is always minutes and seconds up on the top. So we recorded it seconds from midnight. Or you can record it always minutes and seconds. And we can zoom in on that. The other thing is I can leave the BNC server up. So on Thursday, we can pick right up from this point because I won't end my session on the server. But.
Oh, what happened to my water? Oh, my water stopped. That's what happened. No, I think it turns off.
Okay. The last thing we'll end with is I'll stop sharing this. Try to read the documentation. There's documentation all through that. So that's the assignment. And also is for other people, if you want and you get everything set up, there is on the website, before I stop sharing, I'll lower that. But if I bring up the web browser, in the documents guide, when you read through this, there's actually some additional stuff. There's setups, but you can skip that. The other thing, though, these are the ways to do it, but there is a tutorial looking at some NASA P3 data, but from Oracle's. And you should be able to plot up these figures. And I'm trying to think of well, I guess I don't have the tutorial all outlined, but these are the cplot figures you can make. So if you just go through and make anything in cplot like what I did, that should be fine. Which is, if you go your directory and you just take cplot and you put in a file name, so something that's got a .raw at the end will plot, but we're plotting the file that has counts .cprod.raw at the end. So either using XMin and PuTTY or using VNC. VNC is more complicated setup. Michael, did you get XMin working? Have you done that?
Once.
Okay. So I'll get it working again and show the setup because I tried to follow the wiki and something didn't work. Forgot what I had to do. I did it on my other computer, so I have to go back and look what's missing on the documentation. Okay, so we're gonna quit here pretty soon, but read all the documentation, try to get that all set up, and then we can do that next step, but we gotta get the display working. The final thing, I wanna stop sharing that and show you one more key word of thing I have for doing a performance check. So I have this device here. Now I got my screen up and it got a fan. So I put on a block of wood with some ties. You just buy this off of, Amazon or some place. I think you got it. And there's a wood button right here. And this button can make multiple speeds. So you can go off if you hit it once, slow, medium, and then fast. And so you get the fast speed, and that's just a fan. But then right in the middle, if you hold the button,
for a couple minutes. You get this sort of mist, and you can't really see it coming out, but you can see it if you look at it. And it's a sort of mist that comes out because there's water in the top. So I'll show you what this can do for trout droplet probe. Okay, let's see, do I have that there? Yes, that looks pretty good because I have the trout droplet probe. We have the laser here. So let's see how close I can get this. You're gonna do it that way.
You're gonna go on this side.
I'm gonna go on this side. Right. I think you got to bring it down. Okay. So first of all, we see the laser here. Maybe. Let me get it on that side. You can see the laser. And so this is a good way to check to see if we have this working.
Oops. One.
And then I got to put the water on. All right, so. Okay, we gotta make this fast. Oh, it's printing off on me. Okay, we're gonna have to charge this thing. There's a USB charge on this someplace, right here. So I guess we'll have to wait till next time. Do my demo. Well, there it kind of moves. So, all right. We'll get it next time set up because I had it. There we go. I'm not seeing my laser. No, but the camera, it's on there. I can see the light that my, but the video doesn't pick it up. No, you can't see it on the video. Can't see the laser right where we do it. Well, it's the laser is not, it's not bright enough for the camera to pick up. You can kind of see a little bit, but you don't really see the scattered light on the laser like we do with our eyes. Anyway, believe me, when we put this on here, we can put it in there so it's shining droplets that go across the laser beam. And so then we can see, yeah, so if you want to see and point it back at the M300, and of course, we're sorry for the display quality, but what I'll do is I'll take it out. So here's the thing. So now you have no droplets. And then if I put this back in and put it right in front of the laser beam, you'll get these droplets. And if you increase the speed of them, and I think I'm out of batteries. So next time we'll do a faster speed. So, and you get a spectrum here from the droplets of the little device in front of it. So you got the low speed here, about 100 drops on the peak. So sorry, I can't share this screen except with the video, but that's a good device that I'll charge up for next time. So another technical problem of not having the device charge. So any questions before I go? But we're gonna use, this is a good way to just see if the droplet probe is given about right, because it seems to be
I was getting peaks around 200 number per cubic centimeter on the fast one. So we'll try this a few times and see how consistent it is. Okay, I'll stop, but questions? Yes.
If any of you guys need help, I see a lot of people talking in the chat. If there's anything that doesn't make sense, you can always email me.
Yep, or email it to the list. Everybody was, I think when we did this, we had the class list. So maybe put a header on the email and reply back to the same email, because I made it so that it wasn't all blind seed. So everybody should have one. So feel free to reply back to everybody in the list. Now I got myself on myself twice here. So why don't we try that? Try to use the email list as kind of a help. I get it out of the camera. Does that make sense? I can go back and look at my chats too, if I can find them. Where is the chats? Oh, yes. Oh, over here. I got to move it. Okay. You can do the SSH with the minus X if you're coming from a Linux computer. Try the minus Y. It's better. Capital minus Y.
I just always use both dash X, Y.
Yeah. So I do capital minus Y. So that will get you if you're coming from a Linux terminal. That will
display Mac. Back.
And you can just type cprot. You don't have to put the file name in because it will ask you for the file name. Yeah, and if you're on a Mac, the Macs are built on Linux now. So with Mac OS 10 or whatever, they usurped and built their interface on top of Linux. So you're basically running a Linux underneath, although it's a proprietary version. So Macs are good. Anything else? There's the directory. So you need Macs or Linux. That's the easiest way. Otherwise, on the Windows stuff, you need Xmin or VNC. So, okay, with that, I will stop and put this recording up, and I'm gonna try to post what we covered on these also. So try to get that running, because on Thursday, I'm gonna try to have the actual processing that we will do to actually get the calibration data. So I'll probably put together a tutorial for that. Okay. And with that, I'll just let everybody go if there's no questions. Okay. Hearing none, seeing none, I'm gonna end the meeting. So we'll see you on Thursday.